Hello, I'm Gary Stevens. Welcome to Line of Judah Online. Today's subject, once again, we're talking about hope and the anointing factor. We're having part 22 today, and the topic is called People That Know the Anointing versus People That Do Not Know the Anointing. Hopelessness does not come from a lack of money or education or opportunity. It is caused by being without Christ Jesus, without the Word of God, and without the anointing of God in a person's life, and not factoring in or considering the anointing of God, the supernatural power of God, that destroys the yoke and removes the burden of bondage, or it destroys the problem and removes the burden of that problem. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 10, verses 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that this burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and this yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The natural realm that we live in is subject to the supernatural realm or the spiritual realm of God, and therefore subject to the anointing factor in Christ Jesus. Let me just quickly once again go over Christ. Christ is the Greek translation for the Hebrew word Messiah, meaning the anointed. So Christ Jesus is the anointed one with the anointing. The anointing means to pour on, to pour over, to smear onto, and rub into. Basically, it's God on flesh doing those things that only God can do. The anointing of God is the supernatural power of God that comes into our lives through and in Christ Jesus. This supernatural power has the ability to remove problems, to change problems in our lives, and remove that burden that comes from the problem. Let us now go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, or better, 10 to 12. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk therein. Wherefore remember that you being in past Gentiles, or not born again, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope, and without God in the world. Let me just go through verse 12 for you. And that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Verse 12, without Christ means you were not born again. You didn't believe in Christ Jesus. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel purely meant that you were not part of God's family because you were not born again. And strangers from the covenants of promise, that means that you did not know the word of God. You did not know the promises of God that belong to you as a believer. And because of that, it said, having no hope and without God in the world. Basically, that means you had no hope of anything changing differently in the world for you. Let us go further now in this topic today. The topic we're talking about is people that know the anointing versus people that do not know the anointing. If you are without Christ, you are without the anointed one. You are also without his anointing, and it is the anointing that destroys the yoke and removes the burden. A person that does not have Christ Jesus in their life does not have access to the anointing. Therefore, they are at a disadvantage in life situations. Let us now go through a few points regarding this topic today. Point one, men and women that do not know God never consider the anointing factor. In other words, people who aren't born again, they never ever consider the supernatural power of God to change their situations. Point two, your background and present situation or present position does not have control over the anointing. The anointing has control over these restrictions or boundaries that Satan has put upon you. Point three, people in the world who are not born again, they try to understand the natural world and its circumstances, and do so, they learn how to manipulate these things to get what they want. Point four, let us now go to the Old Testament to some of the people that operated in the anointing. The first one I'd like to talk about is Samson, and you'll find his story in Judges chapter 14 and Judges 15. Here we see God put a supernatural anointing upon him of strength, and this anointing manifested in a way that he could kill the lion that was trying to attack him. And he also used a jawbone to slay 1,000 soldiers of the Philistines. This anointing was a supernatural power on him to do something that a natural man couldn't do. Let's now go to Daniel. When Daniel prayed, because he prayed, he was thrown into a lion's den. And in the lion's den, the anointing on Daniel shut the mouths of the lion, even though it was through an angel. The lion's mouths were shut that they did not kill him or did not eat him. This is another manifestation of the anointing, a different one to Samson, yes, but still an anointing. God on flesh doing those things that only God can do. Let's now go to point six, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They factored into the anointing. They said they would not bow their knee to the king, and they were thrown into the fire. In the fire, they did not die. Jesus sent his personal angel down there to protect them. They were under the anointing, the supernatural power of God to break that burden, to destroy that yoke of bondage that they are in. Let us now go to a New Testament example. In the book of Acts, we see Paul and Silas. They were both thrown into jail and they were put in stocks. They could not move. And what did they do? They started in Acts chapter 16, you'll find the story. They started to pray and sing songs, and the songs went throughout the whole prison and all the other prisoners heard them. The anointing of God came into that situation and broke the locks and the stocks off them. They were set free. It opened up the doors and many of the prisoners were set free. The anointing in this situation was different to the anointing of Samson, which was strength, to the anointing of Daniel, who was thrown in the lion's den, which shuts the mouths of the lion. This anointing was a different one to the other two. Let us now go to the example of David and Goliath. You'll find this in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17. The story opens up with the army of Israel and the army of the Philistines facing each other on two sides of a mountain with a valley in between. The champion of the Philistine army was called Goliath. He was huge, and he was trained as a man of war from his youth. He was about 10 feet high, or about 3 meters, and huge. He would come down and challenge the armies of God, the Israeli army, and say, "Send me your best." But they were so frightened, they could not send anybody. Even Saul would not go. David's father sent him to the battlefront with food for his brothers. When he dropped the food off at the back of the line of the Israeli army, he came forward and saw what was happening and said to them, "What do I get if I kill that Philistine?" They were amazed because he was only a youth and all the other people around him were soldiers who were trained. They said, "Have you seen the size of this man?" But David kept on saying, "What do I get if I kill him?" Why was David saying this? David said, "I've killed the lion and the bear while looking after the sheep." So David knew the anointing that was upon him. The word of God says, "Your enemies will come at you one way and they will flee seven ways." So David was looking at Goliath as being a prize. "What do I get if I kill him?" David said. David knew the anointing from his experience with the lion and the bear, where God gave him supernatural strength to kill those two attackers of the sheep. We see here quite clearly, David's looking at Goliath, the enemy in front of him. He's thinking anointing. He's thinking the word of God. He's thinking about the supernatural power that's on him through the covenant that he had. And what's sad here is that anyone in the Israeli army could have done the same thing because they had a covenant to God. But David knew his covenant. He operated in that covenant and he knew the supernatural anointing of God. This is so important for us to understand that anointing that was on David is also on us in Jesus' name. It's also important to understand that there are many believers today that are truly born again and filled with the Holy Spirit that have got no idea about the anointing of God of Christ Jesus. The Bible says, "My people are destroyed through lack of knowledge." It is time for the body of Christ to become born again properly, and that means receiving Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior through prayer, and then to start operating in the covenant that they have with Christ back into Abraham. It is important for the believers to start operating in the supernatural power in any situation in their life. So when they come to a problem or a situation in their life that looks impossible, They go to the anointing. They go to the word of God. They go to Christ Jesus. And they use the anointing in the hope of the gospel to make it come to pass to their advantage. Thank you for listening today, and God bless.